Chapter 1. The Earth Becomes Fortunate. In the final chapter of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, after the story of Gop Kumar had been completed, Sanatan Goswami has quoted verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Parikshit Maharaj spoke to his mother Uttara. They are verses of very beautiful poetry, which stimulate the sentiment of bhakti. Stringing these verses together, Sanatan Goswami has composed a necklace for the benefit of the sadhaks of this world. And when sadhaks keep these verses in their hearts, it is as if they were wearing this necklace around their necks. And if, while taking Harinam, they sometimes call out these verses, it will increase the anand in their chanting. This compilation of verses is known as Bhakti Rasayan, or the nectar tonic of Bhakti Ras. When the material body becomes weakened by illness and one is unable to eat anything, by drinking some tonic, the digestion and the pulse again become strong. Similarly, in the realm of bhakti, for those in whom intense hankering for Raganuga bhakti has arisen, the verses in this final chapter are like nectar tonic. In the bhav of Kamala Manjari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Prabhu, I am not performing bhajan so that you will remove the worldly misery which is strangling me. I am not praying at your feet for entrance into the heavenly garden of Nandankanan, where one can enjoy with beautiful women for a very long time. Nor am I praying for liberation, so that I will never again have to suffer for 9 months in the womb of a mother, and never again be punished by the messengers of Yamaraj. I pray that in the core of my heart you will increase the bhav of Vrindavan, where you are roaming with the gopis and enjoying amorous pastimes. In meditation on the descriptions of these pastimes, I will at once become completely lost in prem. This is what I am praying for. I am praying that I may take birth as a gopa or gopi, or even as a peacock or tree, or anything, anywhere, within the 64 square mile Brajamandal. There I will acquire the company of a rasik devotee, who being full of the bhav of Vrindavan, will describe all of these pastimes to me, and then my life will be meaningful. When sadhaks study and learn these verses, deeply meditating within themselves on their meanings while taking Harinam, they will act as stimuli to fully experience the bhav described in the verse above. Then one's mind will not wander here and there. We should not just walk around talking to others while chanting, but taking the mala, we should sit in a solitary place and give it our mind and heart. Our previous acharyas chanted all night long, meditating on one shloka after another. For half an hour, the waves of the bhav of a particular shloka would be coming to them. Sometimes they would be fully submerged in those waves. Sometimes they would rise to the surface and float on those waves. And then they would move on to the next shloka. As they did this more and more, the whole night would pass, and where it went, they wouldn't know. This is the traditional method of bhajan. Through these verses, Parikshit Maharaj is making the bhakti of his mother steady and strengthening her determination for Gopi Bhav. And through these same verses, Sanatan Goswami is nurturing us. There is a blend of so many different bhavs in Vrindavan. But in the end, applying some polish to these sentiments, he emphasizes Gopi Bhav. There are many verses here, and they are all beneficial to the cultivation of bhajan. To develop and strengthen this bhav within us, we will study these verses in sequence, and from this endeavor, intense hankering for this bhav will certainly arise within us. Danye yam adya darani trina virudas tvat. Pada sprisho druma lata kara jabim rista. Nadyo daya kaga mriga sadaya valoke. Gopion rantena bujayo api yat spriha shri. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.15.8 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.107. Sri Krishna said to Balaram, "Today this land, along with all its green grass, has become fortunate due to receiving the touch of your lotus feet. And receiving the touch of the fingers of your lotus hands, the trees, creepers, and bushes consider that they have attained the greatest treasure. Receiving your affectionate glances, the rivers, mountains, birds, and animals are all feeling fully gratified. But most fortunate are all the Brajagopis who have been embraced to your strong chest, a favor which even Lakshmi Devi herself always desires." This verse describes the time when Krishna is at the junction of his Pauganda Leela, ages 6 to 10, and Kishora Leela, ages 10 to 16. At this time, his full beauty and charm are becoming more apparent, and his limbs are filling out. He would feel shy if he were to remain naked at this age. Now he enjoys taking the cows out to graze and jumping about and creating mischief with his friends. At this age, his form is like a bud which is beginning to open. It has not yet become a flower, but it is gradually opening and becoming more charming. Previously, no fragrance came from the bud, and no bee would have been hovering around it. But as it opens more and more, the fragrance begins to come, and there is nectar available to the bee. When it spreads out and becomes fully mature, it means that Krishna has reached the Kishore age. Now that Krishna and Baladev have become a little older, their forms have become very charming. Their feet have also become bigger. Previously, they were thin from heel to toe. But now, like ripe bananas, their feet have become big and very soft. And whereas before, the soles of their feet had yellowish complexions, now they have begun to take on a reddish hue. Now Krishna has become a little clever in speaking. Instead of always speaking directly, he has learned to speak in a roundabout way. These are all symptoms of this age. His newfound cleverness in speech is evident in his speaking of this verse. To avoid praising himself, he uses the presence of Baladev Prabhu as a pretext to express his feelings. Because at this age, he has become a little intelligent. He realizes that he should never praise himself. Praising oneself is like committing suicide. Here he wants to describe how Vrindavan is more glorious than any place within the three worlds, and even more glorious than Vaikuntha. He begins by saying that the earth is fortunate. Why is the earth fortunate? Because of the presence of India. Why is India so glorious? Because of the presence of Vrindavan. And why is Vrindavan so glorious? Because of the presence of the gopas and gopis. Why are the gopas and gopis glorious? Because amongst them are Krishna and Radha. And why are they glorious? Because of the mutual prem between them, and that is our highest objective. If not for the amorous prem of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then all of our endeavors would be meaningless. It is prayed for again and again by the topmost devotees, and Radha's prem is so glorious that it overpowers Krishna himself. But he doesn't describe all of this directly by saying, "I am the supreme ornament which beautifies Vrindavan," because he is now entering his Kishore age. When speaking, he knows how to keep this bhav hidden and how to skillfully reveal it. Together, Krishna and Balaram are taking the cows out to graze. And upon seeing the beauty and splendor of the Vrindavan forest, at once Krishna becomes overwhelmed with emotion. What is the meaning of Vrindavan? It means the forest of Vrinda or Tulsi. There are many other wonderful trees and plants found there, but the Tulsi tree is primary. It can also mean the forest where Vrinda Devi is the queen. Why is she known as the queen of Vrindavan? Because she arranges amorous meetings between Sri Radha and Krishna. Another meaning of Vrinda is group, meaning groups of cows, gopas and gopis. And Avana can mean one who nourishes and protects. So Vrindavan can also mean the ones who provide stimuli, who nurture and increase the prema of Sri Govinda and the cows, gopas and gopis. More meanings have been given, but these three are primary. As Krishna was speaking this verse, he was remembering his own pastimes, and waves of bhava began to flow inside him. As he was going along with his friends, the ananda he felt knew no limits, and he said, "My dear brother, today Prithivi Devi, the earth, has become fortunate, and the hairs of her body, which are the grass, creepers, vines and trees, are standing on end in ecstatic rapture." The grass, creepers and vines receiving the touch of your lotus feet, and the trees being touched by your hands as you pick fruits and flowers, have today become fully gratified. The rivers, mountains, birds, deer, and all other animals receiving affectionate glances from you have today become especially fortunate. But the most fortunate of all are the gopis who have received what even Lakshmi Devi herself desires, being embraced between your two strong arms. From the very beginning of creation, Prithivi Devi has been serving Bhagavan. Whenever he desired to assume an incarnation, he would descend on this earth and grace the land with his footprints. Varaha held the earth on his snout, and at that time Prithivi Devi became his wife, and from them a son, Narakasura, was born. And the earth is always in contact with Bhagavan's form of Shesha, as he holds her on his head. From time immemorial, she has been receiving such good opportunities. But Krishna tells Balaram, "Today, by receiving the touch of your feet, the earth has become especially fortunate." Why? Because you are now at the junction of your Purganda and Kishora ages, and your lotus feet are especially soft, and such a nice fragrance is coming from them. You move along the earth like an intoxicated baby elephant. Has the earth ever received such an opportunity before? Today the earth has really become fortunate. Here, someone may point out that at that time, Krishna had been in contact with the Vrindavan forest for only 10.5 years, whereas Sri Ramchandra wandered in the forest of Dandakaranya for 14 years. In bare feet, he also walked the entire distance to South India before entering Lanka. So did Prithivi Devi not become as fortunate then as she did during the Krishna Leela? But Ram was banished to the forest, and when in the last year of his exile, Ravan kidnapped Sita, he wandered here and there crying in anguish. Therefore at that time, Prithivi Devi certainly became fortunate from the touch of his feet. But she must have also felt very sad. She really became fortunate when Krishna came in an immensely beautiful form. With a peacock feather in his crown, he would smile as he was decorated by his mother in the morning, and then accompanied by Sridham and Subal and the other suckers, he would take the cows out to graze and jump about with the calves. Just as the young offspring of a deer playfully jump about, he would go along with all of his friends with a happy heart. Picking flowers with their own hands, they would make garlands and decorate each other. And arriving at places like Kusum Sarova, Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, they would enjoy pastimes which were saturated with ras. With special care, Krishna would string one garland which was not meant for any of the Sakas, and feeling great happiness as he thought of whom he would place this garland on, he tucked it away. Who can estimate the great good fortune of those flowers being picked and made into a garland by Krishna's own beautiful hands? When in the evening he would place that garland on a certain devotee, he would feel supremely blissful. Did any of this happen in Ram Leela? There was constant heartbreak in Ramchandra's pastimes, but in contrast, in Krishna Leela, there was so much carefree happiness. In the same way as we may caress one person whom we love and lovingly slap another, Bhagavan has touched the earth in different ways in his different incarnations. Ramachandra touched the earth, and Nrsingadev also touched the earth. Assuming a fearful form, Nrsingadev appeared, and being extremely angry, he killed Hiranyakashipu. All of the residents of the heavenly and lower planetary systems were petrified with fear, and at that time the earth did not experience great Anand. But when Krishna touched the earth in such a beautiful form, she really became fortunate. The rivers, especially the Jamuna, also became fortunate. At that time, Manasi Ganga was also a river, though now it is in the form of a kund, and it also became fortunate. He would lovingly glance towards the rivers because there he would sport with the gopis and sakas. The river would make a sweet sound as they flowed gently, and bees would be hovering around the blooming lotuses. The soft breeze would carry the fragrance, and the entire scene would be so beautiful. Through the bestowal of his affectionate glances, he would also shower the nectar of his kindness upon the hills and mountains, because near them were very attractive kunjas, where there would be very beautiful grass, and on the pretext of taking the cows to graze, he would go there. Sitting on the large rocks with his friends, they would decorate one another. The kunjas, such as the ones near Kusum Sarova, were very beautiful, and there he would enjoy with the gopis as well. This verse describes four benedictions: receiving Krishna's affectionate glances, receiving the touch of his feet, receiving the touch of his hands, and being embraced by his arms as the gopis were. When Krishna would be taking the cows out to graze, from hidden positions, the gopis would lovingly glance at him, and then he would glance towards them with such affection that it would immerse them in remembrance of his sweetness. In the same way, he would glance towards the different birds and animals, and from this they also became fortunate. Sometimes a peacock, being maddened in bhav, would come near him, and he would gently stroke it with his hand. Sometimes he would call a parrot, and when it flew onto his hand, while stroking it gently, he would teach it to speak, and then listen to what the parrot said back. The calves would also receive the touch of his hands. Very young calves, perhaps only a few days old, forgetting the company of their mothers, they would jump along as they accompanied Krishna to the forest. As they proceeded further and further, they would become fatigued. So Krishna would take them on his lap and massage their legs with great prem. He would speak sweet words to them. "Tell me, how much good fortune did those calves possess?" He would also take the sakas on his lap and stroke them. And in this way, Subal and others received the touch of his hands. Considering the diverse sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan, he touches them in different ways. When Krishna takes the cows and his friends to drink from and sport in the rivers have one type of sentiment. And when he goes there with the gopis, they have a different type of bhav. Receiving the touch of Krishna's feet, the rivers swell in Anand. The trees have the sentiment of Sakas, and they receive the touch of both Krishna's hands and feet. The cows have the sentiment of being his mother, and the calves have the sentiment of Sakas. The creepers have the bhav of Sakis, and when he picks flowers from them, it is as if he is teasing a gopi with his touch. The gopis also receive the touch of Krishna's lotus feet.
Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu Bita shanai priyatadi mahi karkesheshu Tenata vimatasitat vyatate nakim swit Kurpadi bi brahmati dir bhavarayusamna.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.19. O dear one, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that they will be harmed. Our life rests only in you, and therefore our minds are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. The gopis are arguing with their own minds. Their minds are saying to them, "Why are you worrying about Krishna? There is no necessity." But from deep within their hearts, from their very Atma, the gopis reply, "We are upset because Krishna's feet are very soft, and we are afraid that they will be pricked by thorns and pebbles. We desire that he should never feel any pain." The mind replies, "Is Krishna blind? He has eyes, doesn't he? He can see where to place his feet while walking." "Hey mind, the calves run here and there, and do they only go to safe and smooth places? They run near the mountains, rivers, and jungles, and they also have hoofs which protect them from sharp objects. But if Krishna goes to such places, his feet will be burned by the hot sand or pricked by thorns and pebbles. O mind, you have no intelligence." The mind replies, "But in Vrindavan there are no such thorns and pebbles. Everything here is Vishuddha Sattva. They appear to be ordinary thorns, but it is as if they were made of rubber. Will rubber thorns prick your feet? They give a very soft touch to Krishna's tender feet when he steps on them, and the pebbles are softer than butter. By the influence of Vishuddha Sattva, Prithivi Devi has decorated her landscape with these soft and golden pebbles, so Krishna will never feel any pain." In this way, they were arguing with their minds. The gopis receive the touch of those feet in the Rasalila, a benediction which even Lakshmi Devi desires. And Brahma is also meditating on those feet.
Ahuscha te nalina nava padara vindam Yogeshwar kridi vichintyam agada bodai.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.48. Such great storehouses of knowledge as Brahma, Shankar, the Kumaras, and Shukadeva Goswami are always trying to remember Krishna's lotus feet. But only with great difficulty do those feet appear in their meditation. Responding to Krishna's teasing with jealous anger, the gopis say, "You have instructed us to meditate, but realization of you really comes even in meditation of the most highly learned devotees. We want you to come back to Vrindavan." And those feet, which are being meditated on by so many, we desire to play with them directly. What to speak of holding them within our brains in meditation, we desire to hold them close to us. Meditation will not satisfy us, so we won't do it. They desire to receive the touch of his feet while they are decorating him, and then they will also receive the touch of his feet. But in the end, they will receive the benediction of being embraced between his two strong arms. Krishna will be touching their feet also when they exhibit maan, jealous anger, and he is trying to appease them. Then everything is reversed, and Lakshmi also desires all of this. So in this verse, when Krishna says,
Bhai, my dear brother, today the earth has become glorious. He is simply using the presence of Baladev Prabhu as a pretext so that the sweetness of Krishna himself, the sweetness of the gopis, and the glories of Vrindavan can all be specifically described. And why has Vrindavan become glorious? Because in that place, the grass and creepers receive the touch of Krishna's feet. Its vines and trees receive the touch of his hands, and its rivers, mountains, birds, and animals received his affectionate glances. But above all, Vrindavan is especially glorious because of the presence of the gopis, whom Krishna himself serves. Thus ends Chapter 1 of Bhakti Rasayana.